Good morning, this is Nicholas Briggs from Doctor Who, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for December 5th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasenflum.
Oh, hi, Chip.
Oh!
You don't know what that means.
No, I don't.
Oh, we'll find out in a minute. We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. I just want to talk about The Disaster Artist. Let's skip all the formalities of the show and get right to it. Our film at 11, our movie of the week is The Disaster Artist, Chip.
The Disaster Artist. So tell me a little bit about this movie.
Okay.
But first of all, it's was available for a preview this
it opened very narrow this week. It was in 19 theaters across the country. It made over $1 million this weekend.
So actually, it did incredibly well.
That's pretty darn good.
And you were downtown at the Music Box Theater.
I went to the Music Box Theater downtown Chicago and sat in a room full of people who know about this movie, who understand what we're looking at here, and we had a lot of fun.
So fill the rest of us in on what the premise of this movie is.
Let me explain to you, Chip.
Explaining. Mansplaining.
Back in 2003, a movie called The Room was released. The Room is quite possibly the worst movie ever made.
Well, that got Steve's attention right there.
You know how much I love bad movies. You know how much I love Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Riff Tracks. Riff Tracks has done a riff on The Room twice.
They had to revisit.
They did a live version and a studio version, as they are apt to do, and they love to hate this movie, and the rest of us also love and hate this movie. This is a terrible movie that I've seen four times.
So who is the director who I found out is also the actor in it?
The writer, producer, director, and star of The Room is Tommy Wiseau, who is a character.
Remember that name.
He's from somewhere, and he won't tell you where he's from. If you ask him, he will say he's from New Orleans.
He's from New Orleans. Well, they have an accent in New Orleans.
Uh-huh, but it's not a Polish accent.
Okay. well, it's kind of French. I mean, it's European, Steve.
He doesn't speak French. He is such an odd creation of a human being. He has been compared to Frankenstein's monster, and he hates that, by the way. So don't ever say that if you see Tommy on the street.
We didn't say that then.
He has a strange looking face. He's got long, unbelievably black hair because he dyes his hair an unbelievable black color.
Jet black, Steve.
He wears odd clothing. He wears sunglasses because he has a drooping eyelid that he doesn't like.
Okay, and this the movie that The Disaster Artist is not based, I mean, is based on his work.
Yes.
But about making of this film.
Yes. This is the making of the movie The Room.
who is our director in this?
This is James Franco, and all of his buddies got together. They love The Room as much as I do.
And there really is a cult following. As in, if you look probably in any major city,
yes,
there's a late night showing of this somewhere.
It's a train wreck. It's a car accident. You can't look away from this movie. This movie is so bad, I've watched it four times. Tommy Wiseau spent $6 million of his own money to make The Room. Nobody knows where the money came from. Nobody knows how much money he actually has. There's a very interesting scene in The Disaster Artist where the one guy brings the check to the bank and says, I want to cash this check if it will, you know, if there's a way to get money out of this account. And the teller goes, oh, dude, you don't understand. This is a bottomless pit of an account. We can write checks for millions out of this.
Oh.
That's something that a teller would probably never say.
Absolutely.
It's probably illegal for the teller to say something like that.
It is.
But that's how impressive this amount of money is. The Disaster Artist is a love letter to this awful movie, to this interesting character who is Tommy Wiseau. Most of us watch The Room and laugh at it at the expense of Tommy Wiseau. He is a ridiculous character.
Okay.
And laughing at him doesn't feel right. And The Disaster Artist goes to the point of showing us who he really is and showing us how we really shouldn't laugh at him.
All right, so this movie opens up this coming Friday for the lay
regular
people. The lay people.
The normals.
All right, so, and you can find it at your local theater.
Yeah, it's going to open wide.
There's not a lot coming out this week.
Yeah.
So this actually looks like the movie of the week, as in, if I was going to go to a movie, I would see this movie.
You should. You really should. Even if you've never seen The Room, which came out in 2003, you should see this movie. I think you'll get the point. They remade almost all of The Room shot for shot in The Disaster Artist.
Why not, Steve?
Because they love it so much. That's why they did it.
All right, and this is also based on a book. Did you read the book?
I have read about half of Greg Sestero's book, The Disaster Artist. And yes, this movie is taken directly from the pages of this one actor's viewpoint on how this was all put together. Greg was the guy who met Tommy in acting class in San Francisco. Acting class. Tommy really thought that he was going to be a superstar. He really wanted to be James Dean.
All I can think of is Bill Murray showing up for the dancing studio, the dancing part from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, this is a Saturday Night Live character in real life. Tommy is that guy. He was in acting class really, truly trying to be the best actor, that live the American dream. And boy, he doesn't have the ability.
Steve, when you have an accent from
somewhere,
New Orleans,
Big Easy.
You come to the United States to make it big, and there you go. You've made it big,
and that's it. That's the story of The Disaster Artist. This is a really good movie. This is a 4-star movie. I enjoyed this very much, especially going to the Music Box and watching this with a group of people who were in the know, the nerds, the backwards people who liked this stupid, awful, terrible movie from 2003. We sat and watched this movie and we enjoyed every minute of it. I suggest it to you, even to you, normal.
This seems like a very, very interesting movie. I'll end up seeing it eventually.
If you remember Ed Wood, the movie that Tim Burton made, where Johnny Depp was portraying this odd creature.
Bela Lugosi was it?
And Bela Lugosi's in there with Martin Landau played Bela Lugosi in
Bushy,
that one.
Bushy.
If you remember the joy that you got out of Ed Wood, the admiration.
Here, I'm gonna rub my sweater.
Your Angora sweater. If you remember finding Ed Wood through that movie to be a human being that you could relate to.
Ed Wood had a movie he wanted to produce, but he only had a limited amount of time, Steve.
Uh-huh. And he had money.
And limited budget, and we need to get it done, and we're going to get it done now.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau had an unlimited budget, and he took his time and made really bad movie. It's so bad. You should go see it.
grab a bottle of all I can think is Orson Welles with his Gallo wines, right?
Right.
No, sell no wine before it's time. There you go, Steve. Grab a big jug of that.
Yeah. Tommy doesn't drink.
Okay.
Just so you know. He's such a character. You should go see this. Everybody listening to me, go see The Disaster Artist. It is the pick of the week. Opening also this week, that one's opening.
On the small screen, although the small screen is, most of us have big screens now. So.
Big screen, small screen in your house?
Yes, the big screen, small screen.
Yeah, on the Sci-Fi Channel, Siffy. Yeah.
Siffy, on the Siffy Channel.
On the Sci-Fi Channel, there is a new series called Happy! ! That's starting tomorrow night. This is based on Grant Morrison's graphic novel of the same name.
The comics that he produced through Image.
Right.
I never read those. Did you read them?
I did. There's only 4 of them. This is a short story brought to life,
okay.
And it is a series on Sci-Fi, so they're going to expand the story a little bit.
Okay.
But the trailer seems to really only give us images that are very, very similar to the original graphic novel.
So what was the story based on? I mean, what is it about?
This is about a hitman named Nick, who around Christmas time... A hitman named Nick around Christmas time.
What?
Uh-huh. He's no saint.
He's got a terrible life.
He's an ex-cop turned hitman. All these awful things have happened to him in his life, and he's in a situation where he gets shot. The ambulance comes, gives him morphine, and right about that moment, he starts to see a flying horse cartoon character who's talking to him.
Ah, all right. So Grant Morrison, we reviewed Super Gods, which is a book that he wrote a while ago. That was about, I guess, superheroes and about his sort of view on life. So usually there is this surreal part to it. And it sounds like what you just described takes us to the surreal.
Yeah. This horse says that he's the imaginary friend of a little girl and that she's in trouble and that Saint Nick is the only one who can help her.
Help us, Saint Nick.
Uh-huh. This is a really good story. I enjoyed the graphic novel story.
And will this be live action? Or
this is all live action except for the horse. The horse is a cartoon character.
Why not?
Well, because it was a cartoon character in the graphic novel. I mean, he says in the graphic novel, what are you, some sort of cartoon? How am I seeing you? The voice of the horse is Patton Oswalt.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Ratatouille himself.
Yeah. And Christopher Maloney is playing Nick
here.
You might know him from all the Law and Order, I think. One of those.
Of course I would.
One of those shows.
I know all the Law and Order.
One of those shows.
I don't know all the Law and Order.
The one thing that I'm curious about here, Grant Morrison is really known for his violence and his blood in his graphic novels. This is an ultra-violent comic book, lot of blood, and an F-word on every page. I want to see what the Sci-Fi Channel does with all that.
That is interesting. But my assumption is the surreal part is probably the more interesting part.
Absolutely.
And they'll probably run with that.
And it's a good hero's journey where the hero gets to be the hero and solve the problem.
Stuff the stockings.
He's not that Saint Nick. He's not Saint Nick.
And the interesting thing is that it is coming out on Saint Nicholas Day. So if you're in Germany, you put your booties out. Oh my goodness.
Grand Tour Season 2 is coming out on Amazon Prime on Friday. Those of you who remember Grand Tour, these are the guys that used to be in Top Gear and lost their jobs on that show and then came over to the United States and Amazon said, hey, we'll give you a job. These are three fun guys testing out different cars in different locales. I look forward to Season 2.
Now, if you have Amazon Prime... That's all you have to do is you go right to the app. Yeah. You can do it through your Fire Stick or through one of your other services. Or you can watch it on your computer. If you have it, you have the ability to. You can actually watch it in 4K.
Oh, yeah. I was watching one episode of this in 4K at my brother-in-law's house. It was stunning. The way that they film these cars is a jaw-dropper.
Okay, so that's coming out, and obviously that's always very fun.
I love those guys. Those guys have a lot of fun, and they film it, and they share it with us. There's a movie called I, Tanya coming out this week. This is Margot Robbie playing a character that looks a lot like Jamie Presley, but it's not Jamie Presley. This is Tanya Harding, the Tanya Harding story from her viewpoint.
So if you're a young person and you're listening to this, you don't know who Tanya Harding is?
No, they don't.
They don't. She was a figure skater.
Mm-hmm.
And then her, when I say her rival, they were contemporaries of the very good American ice skaters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Nancy Kerrigan. And they were both picked to medal in the Olympics. Tanya Harding came from, let's say, the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Much more humble, maybe a blue-collar side would probably be a good way of describing it, a working-class side. And while we don't have really class system here in the United States, Tanya Harding certainly had much more challenges. Getting probably ice time and money to be able to compete and all those other things.
It's a very expensive sport, that.
Well, Tanya Harding's husband hired a person.
Ex-husband. They were already divorced by this point.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. To go and take out the knee of Nancy Kerrigan.
Uh-huh.
Well, Tanya Harding got blamed for it. Public was very much against her.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the publicity, but, going through social media. We didn't have social media really at that time.
Right.
But anyway, she was banned for life, I think, because of that event. Now, she had nothing to do with that. Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Regardless, this is a story that's supposed to make her a little more sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And anyway, this looks like a very interesting story. I look forward to seeing it.
It's got Margot Robbie. Come on now.
She's an awesome lady.
Come on.
Harley Quinn herself.
There you go. There is a movie called Just Getting Started that's coming out this week. This is Tommy Lee Jones and Morgan Freeman.
Steve, there's a time in... Home Alone.
Okay.
You know, the movie.
Yeah.
Where all the grandparents show up, all the little kids are there. No, I'm thinking Christmas Vacation. Regardless, that everybody, and then they're going to have to choose something to watch. And it's going to be something that nobody's going to pick. But if they pick this, it seems like that it would hit all the family elements, right?
Yeah, Just Getting Started is a story that would be just fine for all young to old. You got the old folks, Tommy Lee Jones and Morgan Freeman, hanging out in this lovely resort. They're doing something fun and interesting. Tommy Lee Jones, of course, is an ex-FBI agent, so you've got some intrigue there for the middle-aged people. And the young people will look at the beautiful resort that's there and see the adventure of what these old people are doing.
They'll just see the silliness. Yeah.
Silly old people.
Silliness.
Silly.
So this is one of those grumpier old men type movies that everybody goes and has a good fun.
I think grumpy old men started a trend here. The watch these great actors come and be silly for an hour and a half. It'll be fun. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Let's watch.
For all ages.
Just Getting Started. There is a movie called D-Love. And this one is like the spiritual, what are we going to do with our day? What are we doing with our lives movie of the week?
They picked up a homeless guy and they took him home, Steve.
A gentle wanderer with a weird haircut and strange eyes.
Steve, all that wander are not lost. I'd like to tell you that.
Yeah, we're already whispering. This is going to be a fun story about... all of those foibles of life. What can we do? What should we do? What's the best thing for humanity?
The uptight couple bring home a free spirit, Steve.
Yes.
So grab a Birkenstock.
Yeah.
Put on a lava lamp.
Yeah.
And then maybe put some petrol oil on and head to the theater.
Walk there.
Walk there. Hey.
Get your backpack.
Leave nothing but footprints, my friend.
That's right.
Anyway.
It looks like a good movie. It looks like it has a really good message to it. Really.
I have a good time. I have a feeling that Netflix, when it's streaming, I'll end up watching it.
Yes. That might be your Netflix title of the week. There is a movie called And the Winner Isn't. This is a satirical documentary about Roger Moore. Roger Moore, famous for being 007, mostly.
Isn't he like the white Ricardo Montalban?
The coolest guy. You can think of in the room, the most interesting man in the world other than Tommy Wiseau. Okay. Roger Moore.
All of a sudden, stay thirsty, my friends.
Roger Moore unfortunately passed away.
Stay thirsty, mi amigos.
Goodness. Roger Moore unfortunately passed away, and he did so without ever winning an Oscar. He never won an Oscar, so his kids have decided that they are going to win him an Oscar, and they found a piece of music that he wrote for charity, and in order to win an Oscar, the music has to be in a movie. So they made a movie with this music in it to put into consideration for an Oscar.
Steve, this is a documentary, and it's a documentary.
Uh-huh.
All right, some people are going to watch it.
Yeah, there's an all-star cast. They talked a whole bunch of people, including like Ed Asner is featured in the trailer.
Exactly. Okay. And John Lovett, Steve.
And John Lovett.
Why wouldn't he be?
Of course, Ed Asner.
He's a thespian, Steve. John Lovett is a thespian.
There's your movie of the week. Give me an Ed Asner, John Lovett's movie.
Thespian.
That one looks interesting. I don't know that we'll see that one in the theater.
I was acting.
Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. And boy, do you remember 2014, Chip?
That was a long time ago, Steve.
Do you remember starting a podcast in 2014, Chip?
At a party, I think we talked a little bit about. I'd like to do a podcast. I would be willing to help you.
Do you remember talking about how we're going to start a podcast? We're going to do a book of the week and a movie of the week and an app of the week in 2014, Chip?
And then we have it.
Do you remember the first episode of Too Much Scrolling, Chip?
I don't remember. Did we do The Martian?
The first book that we talked about on this show was Andy Weir's The Martian.
Well, that's a great one to start with.
It was a great book. It is still a great book. If you haven't read The Martian, please go and do that. The movie is good, but it does not do justice to the story.
In fact, Weir, because of the success of that, he said, well, I was hoping to be, I'd create a whole new genre with a whole bunch of other writers who would do it too, because I'd like to read them.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. We got Tal Klein's.
We do have, we have a whole genre of hard science fiction. Tal Klein's The Punch Escrow this mm-hmm. year is a result of the Martian being published in 2014.
Okay, and so we have The Martian. Mm-hmm. But anyway, eventually he has to write something else, Steve.
This is the year. Andy Weir comes out with his second book. This is called Artemis. It is not at all a story that is connected to The Martian. It's a completely different tale about a moon colony, a group of people living on the moon, and all the trouble that you would have living on the moon.
All right, and exactly, that's what it is. It's a colony up on the moon. There's about 2,500 people there. And he kind of has to set up how this sort of base runs. Mm-hmm. This is a real town, a frontier type town.
Right.
That, you know, just like if you, the founding of the United States, mm-hmm. you know, if you're out in the West. Anyway, this was an environment that's not hospitable to humans. How are we going to let humans live up there?
And he builds all of that along with all of the societal pieces. How sure. do people work together? How do we all get jobs? What are our jobs? He also includes his idea of what the economy of this should look like.
Well, Steve, they don't have money up there that we use here on Earth.
Right.
You got to buy your credits down here, buy into their system. We learned that Kenya, because of it's located on the equator, mm-hmm. Becomes the fire. Because of their liberal rules on where it's set up and their location, they were able to secure that as the launching location for all the companies.
And they become a superpower on Earth.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
And so you get up there and you can go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And the vacation at one time was only for the super wealthy. So you'd have the owner of Virgin up there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Steve and I, with our wives, could go up there. We'd have to save a lot. It cost about $70,000
mm-hmm.
to go up there. So we could go up there. And then, you know, for the people who go up there, there's real food. But if you're up there living, foods are very expensive
mm-hmm.
because it all has to be imported. I went on vacation to Alaska. Almost everything gets imported there. So milk may be, I don't know what it is, maybe 10 bucks a gallon.
Hawaii, too. Everything on Hawaii, other than coconuts and macadamia nuts, is all imported. That makes it very expensive.
Eat a lot of pineapple.
Yeah, pineapple. Good. Forgot about pineapple.
That's right. And Jim Nabors.
Oh, Jim Nabors.
Poor Jim Nabors.
Poor Jim Nabors. Rest in peace, Jim Nabors.
Well, anyway, we learned that they end up eating algae, and it's called gunk.
Called gunk.
Gunk.
Yeah.
With flavoring. You can put flavoring in if you choose to.
If you can afford it. Or you can just eat the algae and get the nutrition. Because all you need is the nutrition. You need those calories. You need those vitamins in order to survive. So,
Steve, you're not allowed to have any type of instrument that would cause fire up there.
Right. Fire in the capsule of the moon colony would be bad.
Bad. Just remember that. Yes. That's bad.
Yeah.
We had a really great scene to open up our book.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our hero. She's trying to join some guild. She's got to perform all these maneuvers out in the moon,
and we join her in the middle of an emergency where her suit is no longer functioning and she has to make it back to the pressurized capsule where she can be safe, or she's going to die on the first page of this book.
And there she goes. And she does make it, just so you know, because the book does go on.
Right, there's more than one page.
There's more than one page on it, but she does not she doesn't get the chance to join the guild. She has to wait another 6 months.
Right. She did not pass her test because her suit failed, and that was part of the test of go out to the surface And if your suit doesn't work, you're dead.
So our Luke Skywalker has failed the first task, mm-hmm. and that is to check all of your equipment, and that's the reason why she failed.
Right. Her name is Jazz, and she is from Saudi Arabia, is that right?
She's from Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Her dad brought her up there when she was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. So she's only known life on the moon, really.
Home to her mm-hmm. is up there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the challenges, if you ever get caught with a crime up there, they send you back. You get a choice. If you're, they could send you to the country that you offended, I guess.
Oh.
So, you know, that's what they end up doing. So let's just say that a company up there, I did something against the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm from England. They could send me back to England, or mm-hmm. they could send me to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you think about the countries in the world, some countries are friendlier than others.
Sure.
So anyway, we get a little bit of how all this stuff works. Once again, there's only 2,500 people up there. There's not a lot of, and a lot of those are tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sets up the world real well.
Yes. Andy Weir is really good at the minutiae of this society. He tells us all about it and lays it right out there for us.
And this is a hot read right now. So this just came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to give away all the stories, but there's a real problem with this book. And it's not because of the world he set up, because this world is actually a good story. As a good world.
Yes.
It's a story structure because our hero mm-hmm. causes all the problems.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But I can tell you, at the very beginning of this book, from the first time that we meet this protagonist, I didn't like her. She's not a likable character.
Oh, I don't think she... I mean, she's a wild spirit. She could have been likable. But later on, as the story goes on,
mm-hmm.
I think that you're right. I think that she becomes a person who you're going, well, I mean, the whole time you're learning stuff around her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the beauty of it. You're going through this world, and every time she brings up something, you go, oh, that makes sense. Oh, I understand how that, oh, space is a premium here.
Right.
So if you're in a living quarters of the poor people, space is a real premium. Okay, but as you go out to where the resorts are, yeah, they're visiting, so they want to make sure everything's really nice.
Yeah.
So it's kind of Vegas-ish.
Yeah.
But when we get down to later on in the book, where we really get to know what happened and why it happened, there's some real issues going on there. And I think that at the end, you're going to go, what?
Yeah. It is not the same hero's journey as Star Wars. It is not Luke Skywalker going through the hero's journey, and she doesn't change. I wish that she did.
No, well, it's not that. Well, I don't want to give away the twists and the turns of it.
Right.
What I just want to say is, you start off with this person, and you're learning a whole bunch of stuff, but at the end,
she's a smuggler. Yeah. She's a Han Solo. But not a likable Han Solo, not a lovable smuggler.
She brings, there is morals to what she does.
Yeah.
And in the sense that there are no firearms that make it up there. And
she does have her moral list that she does not allow certain things to be smuggled in.
But she gets an offer to do something
mm-hmm.
that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And she does it. And anyway, it creates a whole series of things.
That's the whole story. We're tiptoeing around the story here. This is a good book.
I think when you go through it, you go, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
At the end, you're going to go, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you're going to come back and you're going to review it. Like we're tiptoeing around it because I think that it's worthy to read.
I agree.
But I think at the end, you're going to go, wait a minute.
Do you remember how much I loved The Martian when we talked about this?
Absolutely.
I loved that book. That book was great. This is not a great book. This is a good book that builds towards something that maybe Andy Weir is going to be able to go forward with this concept.
So tell me about that.
Here's what Andy Weir says. He wants to make a series of books that are based in Artemis. Artemis is the name of the colony, not necessarily about this one protagonist. This might be the only story that features Jazz as the protagonist.
But she could show up at any point because she's our smuggler.
but we have 2,000 plus other stories that could be told. He was setting up this world for a whole series of books, very much like Terry Pratchett's Discworld. That's, he gave an interview saying that he admires Terry Pratchett for what he was able to do with Discworld. Set up a world and tell a series of stories that don't necessarily interact with each other.
Well, I think that if you're going to read this, I think you're going to be more fascinated with the world.
Yes.
Because I think that, that all of a sudden you have a connection to Earth, how Earth gets its resources up, what can be done up there, because there are things you can do in the gravity up there that you can't do on Earth.
It's a gravity story.
There you go. And then we've got the 2,500 people who are working up there with their different skills and their different experiences. And, yeah, I think that, that if he's going to run a bunch of short stories, we'll learn more.
Oh,
good for stuff.
Boy, a series of short stories would be fantastic. I look forward to what Andy Weir will do with this. I did not love this book. I like this book enough. It's a really 50-50 for me.
I blasted through it.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I went through it because I was very interested in it.
Hmm.
And like I said, it came to a weird ending part to it. But let's just say that I really enjoyed it. I would say that on, if we had a, this is a B minus.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think that's bad.
Okay.
And I would say on the content of it, I would say, yeah, probably a B plus.
Wow.
But as far as the story goes, I would say more along the C minus.
Yeah, I guess I had high expectations. The sophomore book from Andy Weir, I had really high expectations, and this just didn't reach my expectations.
Well, I don't want people to be turned off on it. I think you're going to be fascinated by the world.
Yeah.
By the moon, excuse me. By the moon.
Oh.
There you go. I think you're
going
to be fascinated.
The moon building, not world building.
That's right. Anyway, good stuff. And this was... I would say teenager and up could read this. I would say more mature teenager.
Yeah, since the protagonist is a more mature teenager, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
There are no adult situations, but there are things that show up.
There are some adult things that show up that are mentioned over and over and over again. Oh, have we mentioned the thing? Yes, we've mentioned the thing 12 times.
There you go.
Oh, boy, the thing.
Scientists and their discoveries.
Oh, boy, the thing. But anyway, give it a shot. I do encourage you to check that one out. It is called Artemis. It's by Andy Weir. It's on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it.
Okay. We're going to have some fun, Steve. Steve, Christmas season has started, baby.
So you have to pick up all of your AI, all of your little speakers and microphones that to lay all over your house.
Not all speakers are created equal, Steve.
Yeah. The Jim Beam Corporation have made their own AI. It is a decanter for Jim Beam, and it talks.
It talks, and it helps you out,
and
Steve.
And you can talk to it, and it can respond with really sarcastic comments.
Steve, it's always good weather for a good bourbon.
And you can ask it to pour you a drink, and it'll pour you a bourbon.
There you go. AI that's being helpful, Steve.
Finally.
Helpful robots.
Finally. The robots are pouring us drinks and satiating all of our fears. Don't worry about the robots, Steve.
Here, have another one.
They call it Jim. The name of the robot is Jim. Like, there's nobody in your house named Jim.
Well, that's right. Well, last year... we got something similar. We had Nick, what is his last name? Offerman?
Offerman, yeah.
Yes, and who sat down in front of the fireplace.
Uh-huh.
And for 45 minutes, he sipped on a bourbon. And so this year, we actually have the bourbon poured for you.
Yeah.
Before you sit and watch Nick.
Nick Offerman sitting in a chair for 45 minutes. Oh,
the holidays are here, Steve.
Yes, the holidays are here, and the future is here. The 21st century is here. The robots will pour you a drink. Don't pay any attention to what the robots are doing after they pour you the drink.
Speaking of robots, Steve.
Speaking of programs that we might need to be cautious about, there is a report from the Indian Home Ministry. This is India, the country of India.
Sure.
And the Home Ministry is like their police force? Is that what you said?
I would say that. Anyway, they had some security issues that they wanted their military personnel to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was to delete a bunch of apps
yeah.
that were Chinese-based. Mm-hmm. Companies that who created them were Chinese-based. And I would say our U.S. military has got to be, and I'm sorry, militaries across the world mm-hmm. have got to be very...
diligent?
Concerned about yeah. these things. In fact, Kaspersky had a real issue a few weeks ago, uh-huh. really kind of tried to distance themselves. Like, yeah, we're based out of Russia, but...
We're not connected to those Russians. Kaspersky is a well-known name in antivirus software.
Sure.
It's the software that my school district uses for antivirus, by the way. And Kaspersky has had...
My company does not. I just want to let you know.
They've had a great track record of being a good source of antivirus information. But
as Roger Moore showed us, Steve, in the world of espionage.
Because they're a Russian company, that raises some eyebrows, at least. These Chinese-based apps at least make us curious about who is writing the software. What is this software doing? Is it doing what they say it's doing?
Well, the blog post that this came from mm-hmm. was suggesting that the Indian Ministry Council was saying that this is spyware.
Yeah.
And these are things that you're using to, the chat apps and all those other things.
The biggest one here is WeChat. WeChat is used around the world. That is sure. one of the biggest chat apps that certain governments can't get into. It's encrypted well enough. And boy, what if the Chinese government can get into it because they have hooks into this company?
Well, there you go. It is a communist country, Steve.
It is. So
anyway, this is just something to be aware of, yeah. And that could be a reason why using FaceTime would be a good type of thing if you use iOS.
Apple has made their stake that they are absolutely looking out for your security. Security is a big part of their corporation, and keeping you safe is something that they are very concerned about.
Steve, now that we scared people... Let's bring in something good for them.
All right. Do you remember the movie Jumanji?
I do remember.
Oh, that's a great movie.
That is a fun.
That is a fun adventure.
The game. The game that once you start.
The game.
You have to finish it, Steve.
That's right. Well, now it's the 21st century, Chip, and board games might be going away in favor of video games. So there's a new Jumanji movie where the kids get sucked into a video game. Not at all like the plot of Tron. At all.
Well, anyway, if you have Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. which many of our listeners do.
Probably all of them.
Exactly.
Probably all of them.
Well, anyway, they're going to have a preview showing.
Yeah, this is coming up on Friday, December 8th, 12 days before the actual opening of Jumanji in theaters. You can go through your Amazon Prime and get tickets and see this movie early.
All right, so I don't know how special that is. But my feeling on this is Star Wars is getting ready to come out in a couple uh-huh. weeks. Jumanji's going to be there. It's going to get lost in the shuffle. This is just a way for them to advertise.
A little bit of marketing goes a long way.
I think Jumanji's going to be a great film that many of our listeners are going to see. Mm-hmm. But once again, it's just going to get buried in the number of movies.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I am gonna go see this. I'm kind of excited about it. It has a Doctor Who actress in it, Karen Gillan.
Wow.
The redhead is gonna be in this movie. I'm gonna go see that movie as soon as I possibly can, and that's December 8th. Illinois is turning 200 years old this year, 2018. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, Chip.
All right, so December 3rd, 1818,
uh-huh.
Illinois becomes someone, Steve.
That's right.
So it was founded.
Time to celebrate.
It was founded before then, but this is when the statehood was approved and mm-hmm. we became part of the United States. Steve, we're going to have a year-long celebration all across the prairie land.
All the wheat is just going to be just waving and saying, hello, welcome to Illinois.
The land of
Come
Lincoln.
Come on in. Here's Lincoln and here's Reagan's home. And
well, regardless, go to Illinois200.com. Mm-hmm. This is going to be updated throughout the year.
Yeah.
Obviously, here on Too Much Scrolling, we're having our own celebration.
Oh, yeah. Let's celebrate Illinois.
So we're going to have 200 years of celebrating our three presidents
right.
that we claim. So
yeah, Barack Obama counts.
He does.
He totally counts.
Of course. We have Lincoln, we have Ronald Reagan, and then we have Barack Obama. Uh-huh. We have three.
That's right.
So, but anyway, and then we have Chicago, and then for all those people who love farmland, you got farmland all throughout the other parts of the state.
As far as you can see, other than Chicago, there's farmland.
There's it's like Iowa, but with Chicago.
Welcome to Illinois. This is going to be exciting. I kid, but a bicentennial is exciting. I don't remember the United States bicentennial. I was two, but...
yeah, you probably don't remember a lot. I do remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot of 1776 stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of flag waving.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah. It was a fun time. The bicentennial was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be celebrating 200 years here in Illinois. Let's see what's going to happen.
Let's see what'll happen. That's the subtitle for 2017, isn't it? 2017. Let's see what's going to happen. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week to celebrate.
That's right. I think we're going to have a good time. I hope we have given people a couple of things to do this week. I think that there's some movies and some books that they can get to.
Steve, they're going to be eating sugar cookies and preparing for Star Wars.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. Find all the news that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
Oh, hi, Chip. We'll see you in the future.